Corpus Christi is among the most fascinating festivals in the Christian tradition. Perhaps due to its complexity, it is not observed by all denominations. Spanning generations over thousands of years, its true origin and meaning remain unknown to many. In fact, the story of Corpus Christi is often distorted and misunderstood, even by many Christians who fail to grasp its true significance. And I am going to release a very powerful prayer for you in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Kindly watch till the end. However, from now on, we will uncover together what really happened. Without further ado, let's start the video. The whole story begins in the year 1263. At that time, Europe was a mosaic of fervent beliefs and intense religious practices. Amid this setting, there was a priest from Prague, a city in the north of Italy. This priest, named Peter, was experiencing a great crisis of faith. He had doubts about the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist, a problem that deeply tormented his soul. Determined to find answers and strengthen his faith, the priest decided to make a pilgrimage to Rome, the Eternal City. In those times, many believers made pilgrimages to the tombs of the apostles Saint Peter and Saint Paul in Rome, seeking an increase in faith and divine graces. So, Peter set off from Prague, crossing various regions on his spiritual journey. Along the way, he decided to stop in the town of Bolsena. Bolsena was known for its devotion to Saint Christina, a virgin and martyr from the 3rd or 4th century. The town of Bolsena, with its enormous and beautiful lake, was a place of great faith and religious history. Saint Christina was called the Saint of Misfortunes due to the numerous martyrdom attempts she endured because of her faith. Born into a pagan family, Saint Christina converted to Christianity at a young age despite her parents' objections. Her devotion to the Christian faith aroused the anger of her own father, who held a prominent position in the town of Bolsena. Determined to make her renounce her faith, her father subjected her to a series of tortures and attempts on her life. However, according to tradition, all attempts to kill her failed due to miraculous interventions. Finally, he decided to tie a heavy stone to Christina's body and throw her into Lake Bolsena, believing this would kill her. However, a miracle occurred. Instead of sinking, the stone to which Saint Christina was tied miraculously floated on the water's surface, sustaining her and preventing her from drowning. If you're curious to find out what happens next, please click the like button, subscribe to the channel, and keep watching the video. As the stone floated, Saint Christina remained on it, protected by divine intervention. This surprising and miraculous event witnessed God's protection of Saint Christina amid difficulties. Moreover, as Saint Christina floated on the stone, her footprints remained marked on it. To this day, these footprints became tangible evidence of the miracle that had occurred and a sacred relic for the faithful. The footprints have been preserved over the centuries as a symbol of Saint Christina's presence and the divine intervention that saved her from certain death. Saint Christina's footprints on the stone became an object of veneration and devotion for local Christians and pilgrims who visited Bolsena, seeking healing, protection, and spiritual guidance. This miraculous event caused Christina's father, upon witnessing the prodigy, to suffer a collapse and die. Christina, though she survived, continued to face multiple attempts at martyrdom, but was always saved by divine interventions until her death. The devotion to Saint Christina was intense in Bolsena, and many pilgrims visited her tomb seeking blessings. It was in this atmosphere of religious fervor that the priest Peter decided to celebrate a Mass, asking for Saint Christina's intercession to strengthen his faith in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. During the Mass celebrated by Father Peter in the town of Bolsena, something truly extraordinary happened. Peter, still struggling with his crisis of faith regarding the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, lifted the consecrated host during the moment of consecration. It was then that the host began to bleed. Blood flowed from the host, staining his hands and the corporal, a square cloth placed on the altar. This unexpected and miraculous event astonished not only Peter, but also the faithful present, who observed the miracle with awe and reverence. Father Peter, overwhelmed by a mix of emotion, astonishment, and spiritual relief, could not continue the celebration of the Mass. He carefully placed the bleeding host on the corporal and, filled with tears of joy and renewed devotion, headed to the sacristy. As he moved, drops of blood fell on the floor and the steps of the altar, leaving indelible marks that would be preserved as sacred relics. The news of the miracle quickly spread throughout the church, and other priests came to verify what had happened. They were all impressed by the visible evidence of the miracle, the blood-stained corporal and the bloodied stones. With a heart full of gratitude and still in shock, Father Peter decided to take the blood-stained corporal and report the miracle directly to Pope Urban IV, who was in the nearby town of Orvieto. Upon arriving in Orvieto, Peter recounted the event in detail to the Pope. The Pope, deeply moved by the account, recognized the miracle as a divine sign of the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. He recalled the vision received by Saint Juliana of Liège, who had identified the need for a specific feast to celebrate the Eucharist. Here it is worth pausing to explain this beautiful and intriguing story in more detail. Saint Juliana of Liège played a crucial role in the origin of the Feast of Corpus Christi. In the early 13th century, Juliana, a young nun of 16, began to experience mystical visions revealing the need for a special celebration dedicated to the Eucharist. In one of these visions, she saw a bright white disc with a dark spot on one side. This image intrigued her deeply, and she spent many years in prayer seeking to understand its meaning. After a period of spiritual discernment, Juliana finally understood that the white disc represented the Church and its devotion to the Eucharist. However, the dark spot symbolized the absence of a specific feast that adequately honored the Blessed Sacrament. Although there was already the celebration of Holy Thursday, which commemorated the institution of the Eucharist, this feast was also associated with the sorrow of Christ's Passion. Juliana realized that Jesus desired a joyful and solemn feast dedicated exclusively to the glory of the Eucharist. Reluctant to reveal her visions, Juliana hesitated for 20 years until she finally found the courage to share her experience with a trusted priest named Jacques Pantaleon. He firmly believed in the authenticity of Juliana's visions and encouraged her to spread her message. However, time passed, and Juliana eventually died, with her visions falling into obscurity. Years later, the priest Jacques Pantaleon, the only person who knew about Juliana's visions, became Pope Urban IV. Pope Urban IV, upon hearing the account from Father Peter, was deeply moved and immediately recognized the significance of the miracle. With keen spiritual intuition and the memory of Saint Juliana of Liège's vision, which had foreseen the need for a feast dedicated to the Eucharist, the Pope understood that this miracle was a divine sign. He decided to act swiftly to confirm the authenticity of the event and initiate the spread of the miracle and the establishment of a new liturgical feast. To verify the veracity of the miracle, Pope Urban IV convened a group of trusted theologians and experts, including the renowned Saint Thomas Aquinas and Saint Bonaventure. These men, known for their wisdom and holiness, were sent to Bolsena to investigate the occurrence and examine the relics. Saint Thomas Aquinas and Saint Bonaventure, along with other theologians, conducted a thorough analysis of the evidence. They studied the blood-stained corporal, the bloodied stones, and collected testimonies from the faithful who witnessed the miracle. Once the authenticity of the miracle was confirmed, the committee of theologians began organizing the return to Orvieto, bringing with them the precious relics, including the blood-stained corporal. The news of the miracle had already begun to spread, and as the committee left Bolsena, many local faithful, filled with emotion and reverence, started to follow them. This crowd continued to grow as they advanced, with people from various nearby villages and towns joining the procession. As the procession neared Orvieto, Hope Urban IV, informed of the successful verification and the approach of the miraculous relics, decided to go out to meet the procession. The Pope, accompanied by clergy and church dignitaries, descended from his ceremonial vehicle as they approached the bridge where the theologians and the procession of faithful were arriving. When the procession reached the bridge, it was a moment of great solemnity and emotion. Pope Urban IV, wearing his pontifical vestments, knelt in adoration before the Eucharist represented by the miraculous relics. He reverently received the blood-stained corporal and the consecrated host, and together with the procession, began walking towards the city of Orvieto. This event marked the first Eucharistic procession, which would become a central element in the celebration of Corpus Christi. Pope Urban IV, convinced by the theologians' verification and the profound spiritual significance of the event, decided to establish a solemn feast to honor the Eucharist. In 1264, he issued the Bull Transitoris, decreeing the creation of the Feast of Corpus Christi. The bull emphasized the need to reaffirm faith in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, especially during a period when various heresies were questioning this doctrine. The Pope saw the feast as a means to strengthen the faith of the faithful and promote Eucharistic devotion. He also highlighted the role of Eucharistic miracles, such as the one at Bolsena, as divine signs confirming the truth of Christ's presence in the consecrated bread and wine. Following the decree of the feast, Pope Urban IV took steps to ensure that the new celebration would be marked by a rich and deeply spiritual liturgy. Understanding the importance of an appropriate rite that captured the essence and glory of the Eucharist, the Pope called upon some of the most renowned theologians of his time to compose the hymns and prayers to be used in the solemnity. Among the theologians summoned were St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Bonaventure, both intellectual and spiritual giants of the 13th century. When the time came to unveil the hymns, all the theologians gathered in the presence of the Pope. St. Thomas Aquinas, known for his profound scholarship and spirituality, was the first to present his composition. St. Thomas began to recite his hymn, the Liuda Shaun. This hymn, through richly crafted verses, expresses the belief in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the reverence due to this sacrament. St. Thomas's performance was so marvelous and inspiring that all the other theologians present remained silent, deeply moved by the perfection and spirituality of his words. With great humility and recognition of the superiority of St. Thomas's work, each of them tore up their own manuscripts, acknowledging that St. Thomas's hymn perfectly captured the spirit and purpose of the new feast. Thus, the Liuda Shaun became the official hymn of the Feast of Corpus Christi. This event not only highlighted the extraordinary theological and poetic skill of St. Thomas Aquinas, but also underscored the unity and humility among the greatest theologians of the Church in recognizing the most suitable work to glorify the Eucharist. The first celebration of the Feast of Corpus Christi, instituted by Pope Urban IV, marked a moment of profound devotion and joy in the Church. The festivity was meticulously planned to emphasize the importance of the Eucharist and reinforce faith in the real presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. The inaugural celebration of Corpus Christi featured a solemn Eucharistic procession, an event that would become a central tradition of the feast. During this procession, the Blessed Sacrament was carried through the streets in a monstrance, allowing the faithful to worship and honor the presence of Christ in the Eucharist. The city of Orvieto, where Pope Urban IV was temporarily residing, became the epicenter of this celebration. The importance of Orvieto in the history of Corpus Christi was highlighted by the construction of a magnificent cathedral designed to house and preserve the blood-stained corporal, the main relic of the Bolsena miracle. The Cathedral of Orvieto, known as the Duomo di Orvieto, began construction in 1290, a few years after the institution of the feast. This cathedral is a masterpiece of Italian Gothic architecture with its richly decorated facade and impressive interiors. Thus, the first celebration of Corpus Christi and the construction of the Cathedral of Orvieto are intertwined events that established a lasting legacy of Eucharistic devotion, celebrating the Bolsena miracle and the vision of St. Juliana of Liege. These events continue to inspire and strengthen the faith of many Christians, reaffirming the centrality of the Eucharist in the life of the Church and the spirituality of the faithful. It is worth noting that some religions may choose not to believe in or observe the Corpus Christi holiday for a variety of reasons. Some have their own beliefs and religious practices that do not include the celebration of the Eucharist or prefer not to venerate the host and wine as the body and blood of Christ. Additionally, there may be theological and interpretative differences regarding the nature of the Eucharist and what is written in the pages of the Bible. However, it is important to remember that regardless of religious differences, the core issue is having faith in God and practicing principles of love, compassion, and mutual respect. Respect for religious diversity and the pursuit of peace and understanding among different traditions are values that transcend religious boundaries and are fundamental to building a more tolerant and inclusive world. I hope you enjoyed the video. Please subscribe to the channel, click the bell to activate notifications, leave your like, and click on one of the two videos that will appear to continue watching us. Best regards and God bless. Mark 11 verse 24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Open your heart and believe so that the blessings of this prayer will come to you. Say this prayer with faith. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you today. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You, the Lord, you created the earth and the heavens and all that is in them. I give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, God, for everything you have done in my life. I'm grateful for the good things and even the tough times. You've been with me through it all, and for that, I say thank you from the bottom of my heart. God of mercy and compassion, please look with pity on me. I know I have sinned against you. I ask for your forgiveness. Father, Lord, have mercy on my mistakes and failures. Every mistake I have done in word, action, and deeds, Father, forgive me. For your word clearly says in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving me. Now in the name of Jesus, I declare the power of God against any work of the enemy. Every secret agenda the devil and his cohorts have plotted against me be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. Father, your word said Christ was manifested that the works of the enemy might be destroyed. Every work of the enemy against my marriage, my job, my business, my career, my family, and children be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, I declare fruitfulness in every area of my life. Let the power of Christ touch my life so I bear fruit. I am fruitful in my life, in my ministry, in my marriage, in my business, in my career, in my job, and in my finances, for the Lord gives us power to make wealth. Let prosperity be my portion in Jesus' name. I will not lack but have in abundance. Lord, I want to serve you with all my heart. Anything that hinders my service, Father, deliver me. God, save me from myself. Save me from people who will not lead me to you. Save me from desires which are not godly, things which are not in line with your word. Father, help me obey your word. Sometimes the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Lord, make me strong. Make me fervent in you. Restore unto me, Lord, the joy of my salvation. Father, restore all the things I have lost, either by my ignorance or carelessness. You said in your word that the years the locust has eaten in our lives, you will restore us. Thank you, Lord, for restoring me, my family, my marriage, my career, and my ministry. Father, You sent forth your word to heal our diseases and sicknesses. I declare your healing from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Father, heal my family, friends, and loved ones. Let your healing be their portion too. I boldly declare that I am a child of God. I walk in victory through faith. I am the head and never the tail. I am what God says I am in Jesus' mighty name. I boldly declare Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, my Father God, for hearing my prayer and answering my prayer. Amen. As this message has blessed you, type the word Amen in the comment section and share with us your testimony too in the comment section. In the name of Jesus Christ, all these blessings have come upon you now. Beloved, help us spread the gospel of Christ and reach more people all over the world by liking this video and sharing this message with your family, friends, and loved ones. We really appreciate your great support. We plead with you to subscribe so you can receive more videos that will revive your spirit and uplift your life. Christ came that all people will be saved. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, this is the right time to do so. Say this after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and because of me, you came to die on the cross of Calvary. Father, forgive me of all my sins. Today, I boldly declare that you are my Lord and personal Savior. Come into my heart and lead me. As you have said this prayer, congratulations, you have been born again. Please look for a pastor in a Bible-believing church and tell him you have given your life Christ. You will need to fellowship with other believers to learn about your new life. Prayer is a very powerful tool God has given us. With prayer, our problems receive solution and we get comforted by God. Please leave your prayer request in the comments section. We are constantly interceding on your behalf before God. Trust me, friends, our God will answer your every prayer request. Sometimes we may not reply to your prayer request in the comments section, but that does not mean we are not praying for you. We have you at heart and your requests. May the grace of our Jesus Christ and the love of God be with you now and forevermore. Amen.